Now, welcome back to In Focus. Brandon Peoples joined here for our final segment of In Focus with Greg Istone, who is the horticulture agent at K-State Research and Extension. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It is fall time here, and you know, there's a lot of leaves on the ground, and I see that's part of our topic here. You know, a lot of people think leaves are kind of a pesky thing here, but very important, I guess, to our lawns.
They are. It's a natural process of using nutrients back into the soil and back in the plants for the following growing season. And so I know oftentimes they seem a nuisance and you want to get rid of them, but they're actually, you know, nature's way of recycling. And so it's best if you can just accumulate those. I like to chop them up. Probably a lawnmower is probably the easiest way to do that. But chop them up, and if you want to just leave them on the turf, that's perfectly fine. There's been lots of research showing that they have no problems doing that, and actually will add the nutrients back into the soil. Some people may have extra leaves, larger trees, neighborhoods that are quite shady and lots of leaves and may not feel like that's an appropriate use for them. But those can, again, be chopped up. You can either use them as a compost source. You can always add them directly to our soils. If you have a vegetable garden or a flower bed, work those in. Still, if there's an abundance that you don't really want to use, we can take them out to the Riley County Transfer Station. Homeowners can freely take them out there and deposit them, and they will be used in their composting system and broken down through the fall and winter and be available for spring use for other people. I've been using some from the Riley County Transfer Station for some of our school gardens. We like to prep those each fall. And for $20, you can get a whole ton of compost, which is quite affordable, and use that resource back into the system. The thing that we don't like that has come over time as we develop more hard surfaces, stormwater damage as far as those nutrients getting into our stormwater. So if you have leaves collecting on the side of the curbs, you may not want to wait till a street sweeper comes along, and you can utilize those free nutrients, get them off out of the curb and recycled into the landscape.
And if you do use it as a mulch, is there a time period that when you need to get it out there, maybe better time than others?
Yeah, it can be used for a mulch. We like to wait till we've had some cold periods, which we've had. That, depending on how thick you apply that, that may become wildlife habitat. And so we like to wait till maybe the rodents have find their preferred winter habitat for the winter, so they don't create an environment. So if you were to take those tree leaves and put them over, say, your rose bush, which is usually beneficial, that may be a habitat that whether it be a vole or a field mouse or maybe even rabbits would chew on those stems during the winter time, which would cause your plant injury. And so I think now's a perfectly time to be utilizing those if you need to do some extra mulching for protecting our plants. We're getting to close to the time when we put down a mulch for strawberries. Strawberries are shallow-rooted, and any of our shallow-rooted plants can heave during the winter season. That's because of the cold temperatures, of the moisture in the soil. If it freezes and thaws, that kind of pushes those roots, young, either a young plant or plants that are shallow-rooted out of the soil, which becomes a problem for moisture desiccation, and so a mulch will help alleviate that. So putting down mulch for strawberries is close to doing that. You could do it this, you know, holiday season if you have the time. 3 to 4 inches, typically use straw mulch, but you can use tree leaves and things like that as well. It doesn't matter the plant. It's whatever's readily available, and probably won't have any damage from wildlife. But it's an ongoing thing. You need to watch throughout the winter time. And if you have some young trees you've planted or something like that, you may want to put a barrier between the rodent feeding and the trunk itself. So there's tree wraps, different materials available, wire or something like that, just a barrier, something to keep them from getting to the trunk.
Okay. Well, tree leaves, you mentioned, can be a nuisance for some. Dandelions are also another nuisance, but I imagine there's some importance with them too.
Yeah, you know, this is the time to kill off our weeds if they're an issue for you. So we have winter annuals, the henbit that is just not quite the K-State purple that we like. It's a little more violet, a little lighter color. And once any of these weeds are blooming, that's when you notice them, obviously, but you really can't control them other than cultural practices pulling them out. But if you're wanting to manage those, prevent them from blooming for the next spring, now is the time to manage those if you haven't got around to it. Typically, you know, we have some nice warm days that the herbicide would be taken up if you choose to use a herbicide. There's a product out there, a little bit newer chemistry, called carfentazone active ingredient, which works better in the lower temperatures, or at least is effective in lower temperatures. So if the air temperature is, say, 50, 55 degrees, you may want to use a product that contains the carfentazone active ingredient. It'll be absorbed by the weed and taken in and probably do a pretty good job. If we have some nicer, warmer temperatures than that in between now and springtime, some of the other older-fashioned chemistry will work just fine. The important thing is that you do it before they bloom, because once they start into the bloom system, they're really not going to take that product in and get to the root and kill it. You may burn it back, and once it starts blooming, you're creating seeds for next year anyway, so you're kind of maybe feeling better, but you're not really gaining any weed management strategies that way.
So do they bloom during this time of year, dandelions?
No, they just typically are building food resources and getting ready to put food into the flower production. And so that's why now, before they're blooming, is when we'd like to control them.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you kind of have to be out there scouting, because some of them can be very small, and they kind of grow during the wintertime, and then come springtime, boom, they're there. And the other things with the carfentazone and other products, they're temperature related to how fast everything works in the natural world, and it's very slow at this time. I've had some people call and say, well, I did treat, and it's 2 weeks later, and the weeds still look like they're happy. You probably got them, but the thing is, it's a very slow process here in the wintertime. So if you spray one time, get fairly good coverage on your weeds, you're probably taking care of the situation. They just may look like they're still there until come spring, when everything else is blooming, and go, hey, they're not blooming. They did disappear. So it's a slow process, but you probably did a good job at controlling them.
Okay. Moving on here, it's the holiday season, Thanksgiving later this week, and we're going to start seeing more poinsettias out there.
Yeah, poinsettias, a typical blooming flower at Christmas time. We like to bloom maybe a month or so earlier than that, and so they've had to be treated by gardeners, greenhouse people. But they are out there nowadays, and you want to make sure you're buying a young one, which it probably are at this stage. What we see typically is the colorful bracts, the modified leaves. That's what everybody buys. But you want to look at the flower itself. And when the flower's in full bloom, it has little yellow anthers on it. And so they'll be in the center of the bracts, or where a typical flower would be. You'll see some coloring there. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but you may want to buy one that's a little bit fresher and younger, which I would assume at this time of the year they are. And the main thing with poinsettias, they're naturally from Mexico. They like warm temperatures. They don't necessarily like dry heat, which typically indoors and now this time of the year our furnaces are running, and so the humidity in the house isn't really up their ways. And so you would just want to keep them away from the vents if you can, and anything that's producing some dry heat. Old-fashioned TVs used to be a no-no to have them around there, but just want to keep them probably away from the vent. They don't like cold weather because they're from Mexico, so not near a door or something like that that opens up and closes on them. But other than that, they're a little bit finicky on moisture. They like, I guess, the typical plant. They like an evenly moist temperature, which is very hard to usually accomplish. But you definitely don't want to overwater them. Overwatering will cause root issues and probably kill the plant. If you let it dry and it gets a little wilty, it'll probably respond back from that. Your bracts may have some burning or edging on it, but probably pop back up. Main thing probably I like to do is just lift up the pot, and if it's pretty light, you probably need to water it. If it's fairly heavy, again, wait another while. Just have to check it, because each room's a little different. People's behavior's a little bit different, so there's not like water it once a day. That's probably too much, but depends on the location, how actually to manage that. And if you're buying one from a store or something like that, again, they don't like the cold, so you may need to wrap it up if it's cold out and bring it home. Typically, we suggest it's kind of a perishable product, so it may be the last thing you purchase for the day and bring home directly and get it in the house and into its location right away.
And if you do buy one, are you able to transfer from one to the other pot here? Or
typically, you know, they're ready to go, and you just got to enjoy them. Sometimes, old-fashioned, they used to have containers with no drainage in them. You want to make sure that you know, it's not sitting in water when you water it. So whether there's actually drainage holes in your container or your wrapping that you have around to make the container more attractive, something to be aware of. You just can't overwater them. So whether they have the drainage or you need to make drainage, that's a critical thing on probably the long-term desire enjoying them, and they do last a long time nowadays. Those bracts, I've seen them last up May, June, actually, if you keep them around, if you want to. And you could winterize it or grow it for next year. Again, it will typically bloom around Christmas, but if you want to start that earlier in the season, you're going to have to give it 12 hours of complete darkness about 2 months out, and you could get it to rebloom if you wanted to, if you like those kind of challenges.
Okay, yeah, that'd be kind of fun to see. We have just a couple more minutes left here. I'll let you talk a little bit about wildlife management here.
Yeah, again, this is the time of the year where there's less food for our rabbits, and again, I talked about voles, which typically are kind of right on the ground level, and if you put a layer of mulch there, that's a perfect habitat for them. So you need to be aware if you have some, you have to go out and check your plants periodically. Field mice is kind of similar to looking like a vole, slightly different. If you have those, you know, try to discourage them is probably the main thing. If you're trying to trap them, just the old-fashioned mouse trap works really well. You may need to put some type of cover over it to keep domestic wildlife away from it, a pet dog or cat or something like that. Mm-hmm. But and deer will start to cause issues on some of our taller woody plants. And so one suggestion we have, particularly if you have like fruit crops, fruit trees, those things, I've seen just taking the reinforcement wire, concrete reinforcement wire, making a cylinder. Again, that's creating a barrier between the wildlife and its food source. And we know those things work really well. Occasionally, you can use repellents, products that you spray to either taste bad or have an odor to them that prevent the wildlife from getting to them. Those are going to have to be reapplied throughout the season. And that's where the barrier is kind of a, not necessarily a one-time fix, but maybe a good solution for you.
All right. Thank you for all these tips. If you miss any of this, we'll put it on newsradiokman.com later today. Greg, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
Okay, Greg Istone, Riley County Extension Horticulture Agent, here joining us on In Focus.
AS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you